You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Lana Vienna Suite Preview, your mini look at the upcoming Bolton Wanderers game this weekend. Timing and technical issues have kept us away, though hopefully we'll be back on a more consistent basis with episodes in the future. We may be in the early stages of lockdown 2 Electric Boogaloo, but at least we've got the one thing that'll keep us all occupied this weekend and all looking forward to, a Bolton Wanderers game. Yay!
What's this part about looking forward to it?
So much.
What's this part about looking forward to it?
I hate Bolton more than I hate any other team.
Oh, it's trying to be optimistic. Joining me to preview our first and possibly only FA Cup game of the season against Crewe is James Jarvis and Tom Jenkins. Hello, lads. How are we doing?
Fine, mate. Not great because of any kind of stupid lockdown that is a load of bollocks and totally pointless. I'll leave it at that for the moment. But, yeah, we've got Bolton to look forward to. I'm so excited. Can't wait to play Crewe for the 400th time this season.
I mean, as for me, personal life, doing fine, but no one gives a shit about that.
Personal life.
So when it comes to Bolton Wanderers, yeah, I can't wait to see us get knocked out of the FA Cup. It's going to be brilliant.
Oh, it's going to be marvellous, isn't it? Before we get on to our FA Cup debut game this season against Crewe, we'll go back to the game against Mansfield midweek. An absolute classic, a 1-1. What were your thoughts on the game, lads? Was it a point rescued? Was it 3 points dropped? How bad were we, Tom?
I mean, I don't know if I'd prefer us to be losing these games so that there was more pressure to actually make meaningful changes. I think the fact that we're saving ourselves like we did against Barrow, like we did kind of against Cambridge, although in the Cambridge game we actually played quite well, so it's maybe a bad example, but certainly the Mansfield game, I think, I can't remember who it was who said it, I think maybe Mark also said it in his match report, we just looked beaten the second they got their goal. There was a half an hour at least left to play in the game. And there was absolutely no way in my mind that I thought we were going to score. Not having fit strikers obviously doesn't help. But we just looked very, very clueless. And, you know, I wish Ali Crawford was capable of producing moments like that a lot more often, because when he does that, he looks like one of the best players in this division. But for 89 minutes, he was utterly, utterly awful. The only people coming out to it really with any praise were, as Ian Everett said, and had the balls to say, I think it's one of his few good comments in the media that he's made recently, is to say that Santos, Delaney and Sarcevic have been carrying that team. They need a bit of help, basically.
Absolutely, yeah. It's Ali Crawford, it's a real shame, isn't it? Because we were all excited when he was the first one through the door. We saw it as a real coup to keep him in League Two. And even though he's got 4 assists in League Two this season, which is absolutely incredible, he's just anonymous in the team for most of the season. And I don't really think like he's there. And I remember on Tuesday night, someone slagging us off on Twitter for a comment saying, "Oh, because I wanted Crawford to be taken off instead of Darcy." And him said, "Oh, are you going to praise Crawford for his pass?" And I did in the immediate reaction. It was an absolutely sublime ball over the top to Sarcevic. And you've got to praise Sarcevic as well for that run. Watching it back, that run is incredible for a player who was getting slagged off so early in the season. Crawford's overall delivery has been really poor. You look at his corners, you look at his free kicks, it's been dreadful to look at. And you have to think that we could have taken advantage of it better. You know, we've got Santos and Delaney, who are absolute giants at the back, who could really be a threat from set pieces.
Yeah, certainly Delaney's shown, yeah, hasn't he, that he's competent to sort of getting in attacking positions for headers. Santos, maybe not so much. His goal record's nothing to shout home about. But Delaney's got a bit of the budget Craig Dawson about him from corners, from what I saw in League One, certainly.
Hmm. And he did score in our last game against Crewe, didn't he?
That was he did. I mean, I think... even Clayton Donaldson could have scored that one, but even so, you've got to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Welcome to you, James. again, Bolton Wanderers had a fairly good first half. You know, it was a pretty great opening 20 minutes and we didn't really take advantage of it. And then came out for the second half. We were absolutely dreadful. What is Ian Everett saying at half-time? Why are we so despondent coming out for the second half?
I don't know what he could say to them, because half of them just played like they didn't want to be there. He just seems to have some kind of motivation problem in the squad, because half of them, you can just tell by the way they were moving around the pitch. Like, did you see how many times Gordon, when he came on to replace Brattbank, how many times he could have made an overlapping run and he just was either too scared or too nervous or just too lazy just to not make that kind of run, which would really have benefited us. Got himself into a crossing position and whip a ball in. Something along those lines. And then you see Tom White, who seems to be suffering from Joe Williams syndrome, having a fantastic debut and then just being completely anonymous most other matches. It's utterly frustrating to watch it. He's right to point out Sarcevic and Santos and Delaney, and even though he went off injured, I'll also bring up Brattbank and Darcy as well, even though he didn't have a great game overall. You can tell those are the players that are trying. The rest of them, I'm not too sure. I'll maybe let off Delfonso, because maybe possibly was suffering from some kind of hangover from whatever injury he picked up, but the rest of them, no. They just were not playing up to the levels required, and I sympathise with Everett for some of the stick that he gets sometimes. He doesn't help himself with his comments, but every single time that he's been in the media, I feel like he's been totally honest with what he feels, which I appreciate heavily, even if I don't always agree with it. I don't feel like he's selling us any BS. I don't envy the task that he has to do with some of this squad, because regardless of whether or not if they have ability, if they're not trying, then I don't know how you can get them to change that.
That was the concerning thing, wasn't it, in the aftermath of the Leyton Orient game, where he came out and said that I knew before the match that some of them didn't look motivated. I mean, that's the kind of thing that managers get sacked for, genuinely. Coming out and saying that you can't motivate your players is a sure sign of losing not only them, but also the fans and any kind of support that he'd managed to build up before he came into the job.
Yeah, well, I said as much on Twitter. If you can't motivate yourself after grinding a good result in your last game, and a much, much needed result, Then why does he need to motivate them? How are you not motivated yourselves after winning? Like for me,
yeah, that's ridiculous. Ridiculous. In the, as you say, you know, that's a really good result. Let's be honest, we got out of jail with the penalty save, but to come away from that game with a win was a superb result.
Even that. Krenlin's penalty save, for all his stick, he did save the penalty. And the fact that the players weren't even motivated after something like that, after someone who rightfully has gotten a lot of stick for his performances in recent games, pulling out another save like that, especially after being lambasted to man up in the media. How does that not pick a team up itself? How does that not motivate the players around them, saying, look, I've not had a great time, but I do have some competence in about me. But nope, they just didn't take the lessons from that and just allow themselves to get absolutely hammered by a late Orient team who just sat back on the laurels after they got the fourth goal.
And by that prick Connor Wilkinson as well.
I was happy. I was happy until you mentioned him.
Bellend.
I was trying to forget that free kick as well, to be honest. That was
just the celebration afterwards, the absolute balls of that twat. Anyway, sorry, we're going to go off piste and it's not going to look pretty. No. You go on, Ed. Sorry, yeah, mate.
It's all right. Need it back to the Mansfield game anyway. We'll later on it as well. Do you feel like a formation change is needed to try and bring something out of the players this weekend? Do you think now it's the cup competition? Do you think now's the right time to experiment and try something new? And because obviously, I wrote in my immediate reaction, insanity, like the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And Ian Everett's clearly trying to do that, playing three at the back still. So do you feel like now's the time to try and play four at the back and, you know, no. Try and...
No.
Oh?
No. No. Problem is every time, the multiple times that we tried to play four at the back, we looked even worse as a team. So he
I don't think we've got the personnel for it, have we, really?
Yeah, not really. I don't think Gordon's got the defensiveness to be a proper fullback, and I don't know what the hell's going on with Maskell after his last performance. So, yeah, I don't feel confident either of them at left wing back, even though one of them's going to have to left back, I should say, even though one of them's going to have to play against Crewe tomorrow. So, well, but yeah, a change in formation for me is not the right call. It's just some of the personnel need swap, and especially we need some personnel back. Like, even though he's obviously not hit the numbers that we thought, we really miss Owen Doyle in that team. If he got some of the chances that fell to some of our players, he'd have buried them. I'm confident of that. I'm also not a fan of square pegs in round holes, like Brock Bank being at left wing back, even though he has been the best player in that position. I'd rather have him at right centre back. Baptiste, even though it wasn't his worst game against in the last game against Mansfield, I just don't feel nearly as confident with him there as I do with Brock Bank. There's just little things here and there that we're missing, and whether that's motivation or whether it's the right personnel in the right positions, it's hard to say, but I don't think the change in formation is what we're seeking. I think it's more of a mentality thing.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, to be fair, James. I think it's a complete personnel issue, really. We've sort of made our bed. We've got to lie in it at this point. I completely agree with you, Ed. The definition of insanity, all of that. But unfortunately, we don't really have that alternative option. We've recruited to the point that where our only possible winger on either side could be Lloyd Isgrove, which would make us very one-dimensional if we put someone out on the left flank who wasn't particularly comfortable there. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter saying, let's put Delfonso wide left and play like a 4-3-3, something like that. I think you'd get the best out of Isgrove. I think you could well get the best out of Doyle, but I think it would be slightly unfair to put a square peg in a round hole, especially when Delfonso has been one of our best performers this season, fairly consistently as well. But the Baptiste Brock back situation is absolutely insane. You can't put your most recognisable right centre back, someone who's very comfortable playing that role, at left wing back, and then put arguably the weakest player in the squad in a very, very key position. You've got the best out of Santos and Delaney, putting them where they are. You've got the best out of Brock Bank, putting him at right centre back. Why you then, you know, cut your nose off to spite your face and play Baptiste is completely and utterly beyond me. Whether he puts in a semi decent performance or not, he terrifies the crap out of me. So he must terrify the crap out of every other player on the team, thinking he's going to make some kind of mistake.
Most definitely, yeah. The thing with Baptiste that I don't get anyway, I don't mind him playing the odd game. I think he had a good game against Barrow and an all right game against Bradford. But considering he's played so few games in the last few years, he's been riddled with injuries. To have him play five consecutive games in less than 2 weeks, it just seems absolutely ludicrous to me, especially considering we've got those two, even though they've not been playing great, those two left wing back options on the bench, and forcing Brock Bank to go into another position that he's unfamiliar with, or unfamiliar at first team level with.
Mm.
It just seems silly to me. And
it's the whole Tut situation, isn't it? You know, we've decided not to play Tut, even though he's been one of our best players, because he doesn't have the fitness to play several games in succession. Why does Baptiste suddenly have a physical advantage over Andy Tut? It makes no sense at all.
It's baffling, isn't it? Because Tut really has... Baptiste, you know, has been so more bad than good anyway, but Tut's been consistently probably our best player, especially in that midfield three. I think he really helps gel those often and Sasevic together in the games that we played anyway. So yeah, to see him...
He's a proper DM, he's a proper pivot to play off. Yeah. And the fact that he's more constantly looking to play at the forward ball rather than we've seen out of Tom White and Brandon Conley, you can say how much of a world of difference it makes.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll move on to this weekend then. Clearly there's going to be some changes because something needs to change anyway. So how can we predict the team? Can you predict the team? I think we'll start with a goalkeeper. Do you think Billy, that now is the chance to try Jilks if he's up to scratch, or to try Alexander in net and give Billy Crellin a week away from the spotlight?
That's certainly what I would do, but he won't. I can tell you that for nothing. I'd put my house on the fact that Crennan will start, but I'd certainly play Jilks if it were me.
I just feel so sorry for...
Yeah, I was about to say, if you didn't play either of the other two in the cup competitions before, and especially something as meaningless as the EFL Trophy, then he's not going to do it now.
He can say what he likes in the media about, Jilks is there just in case... And Jilks is also now starting to train with the first team because he could well be put in goal. Billy Crellin plays every single game that Billy Crellin is fit for, 100%. He set his stall out right at the start of the season, did Everett, rightly or wrongly, and this lad, we are going to be stuck with him. I think I said in the chat a few days ago, this is going to be his transition season where he either turns into a really, really good goalkeeper or fades into complete obscurity. But we are going to be the team that sees him in his transition. And that is why, right at the start of the season, whether he turned out to be a world beater or not, it was a risk. We knew it was a risk. Lee said several times it was our most key signing in terms of what influence it would have on our season. And I think Everett's got it wrong. I think I can safely say that Everett's got it wrong.
Do you feel like Everett will bring in another goalkeeper in January?
I don't know if he's the kind of bloke who's too stubborn to admit that he's made that big mistake. I think he's sort of, because he's come out in the media and said what he said about Billy Crellin and the massive amount of abuse that he then got from all corners of the media for it, I think it might well add insult to injury to then go and bring in another goalkeeper and send him packing off to Fleetwood. It would be what I would do. I think we're in a situation now where if by some miracle we've been able to string a few results together and be in with a playoff shot by January, I think the best thing that we could do is to get a keeper who's not going to drop clangers or not going to be trying to find himself like Crellin is. You know, whether he's good with his feet or not, couldn't care less. Genuinely couldn't care less. I would have gone right in the summer and got Josh Lillis or someone of that ilk to just be our stable goalkeeper, make the saves that I expect you to make and not be as erratic as Crellin has been. But I don't think Everett is that bloke to admit that he's got this horribly wrong.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, he came highly recommended from Jilks in his time at Fleetwood. You'd have to assume so anyway. But you look at other goalkeepers in the league. You mentioned Lillis. Our former player, Jake Turner's, had a good start to his career at Morecambe on loan.
Oh, that one is mad, isn't it? The fact that he's gone to Morecambe on loan. If you were available on loan, it would have been the first call that I would have made. Don't get me wrong, it's also a risk, but at least it's, you know, the devil you know. There's an experience there. We know what we're getting with Turner. Crellin was a massive unknown commodity.
Turner's got, you know, he's a couple of years older. He's already familiar with the club and the expectations, and you could say that's played some sort of part in Crellin's poor start. Obviously, we are a League Two club, but you know, you go out to that stadium week in, week out, and expectation from the fans, and you're probably sensing it on social media. I know there's some people attacking him in the tweets that they're sending to him.
Well, imagine what it would have been like if there'd been fans there.
It would have been chaos for him. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know where the away end is at Cambridge, but imagine him dropping that clanger right in front of what would have been 1,000 to 2,000 Bolton fans. I mean, the lad would not have been able to survive that.
Oh, he would have got dogs abuse, yeah. A lot of players have seemingly had their... Chris Taylor, like, away games, definitely Chris Taylor. I remember that game at Oldham where the fans just gave him dogs abuse, and that seemed to... The end of his career, Real Wanted, really.
I don't think it's a good trait of Bolton fans at all, by the way. I think it's one of the worst aspects of what our fans are like, because we're very, very tribal, loyal to the people that we're loyal to, and, you know, God help the people that we're not. I mean, some of the most disgusting things I've seen, I think, at Coventry in the League One season, where Liam Trotter was given one of the most horrific receptions I think I've ever seen for a footballer. And, you know, he's an old experienced pro who can deal with that kind of rubbish, but I don't think Billy Crellin would have been able to. I don't think there's a lot of players in our team who come across as weak characters to an extent and wouldn't be able to deal with that kind of pressure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another position you could probably see a change is right wing back. Peter Key also was fantastic the first couple of games, but his performances have been slightly getting worse and worse the last couple of games. And a lot of fans have been calling for Jack Hicken to be recalled, seeing as he's more of a person to just get hold of the ball and whip it in at the first time of asking. Can you see him playing tomorrow, James?
No.
No?
No. Because Kyoso, for all his faults, he holds onto the ball better than Hickman has so far. Hickman does whip it in fairly early, but as we've shown by statistics, even though statistics obviously don't always tell the story, 90% of the time they miss the target, which isn't really ideal, especially if Everett does want to try and play this possession based football. Kyoso is a smarter option. He's stronger in the air, and the only issue I have with him sometimes is that he's just a bit greedy. Right, so like sometimes he just holds onto the ball for too long. He doesn't make that incisive pass when he should, and but one advantage that he does have is that he's excellent at making an overlapping run. I will give him that, but Yeah, I think so. Chiosso's probably closer at the moment to the type of player Everett wants to play, and yeah, unless Hickman's been working on his crossing a lot more in training, or he's been working more on his runs or his defensive work, Chiosso's absolutely starting.
Fair enough. I'll end this on Crew just by saying, do you feel like we need to get a result tomorrow or a really good performance to help build season, to push on against Salford away? I'll open that to both of you.
I mean, it's always something that they say on paper, isn't it? You know, the cup run can inspire good things for a season, but and we certainly not benefited from the fact of being out the cups, because it's not exactly improved our league performance whatsoever. But I don't know. I get the feeling that maybe it would be nice for the squad to get one over on a team that they've come up against so regularly and failed against, if you know what I mean. I think given that the two times we've come up against Crewe, we've lost, it would be certainly a nice boost, I think, for the players to get one over on them. But I think it depends on who he plays. If he plays the regular first team and they get a result, could be brilliant going into the Salford game. If he makes loads of changes, they get the result, it's, you know, kind of a bit of a two fingers to the regular starters, which is why I kind of get why he would you know, be playing the first team. Having said that, it's not what I would do. I would be ringing the changes. I get my Tafts in, my Greenwiches in, all of those, that kind of thing. But that's just me. I think we're so threadbare and we're so fortunate at the moment that injuries have started to dissipate and we've started to get players back. I don't think we can afford any more key players. I certainly wouldn't be playing Sarcevic, for example.
Do you agree with that, James?
Pretty much. If I was the manager, I'd just ring in the changes, because if any of them want the opportunity to get past the first team, even though some of them have been absolute dog, then they need to play. They need to say with their actions on the pitch how they come across in their runs, how they attempt to play with each other. Whether if they make a mistake, they will get a telling off, like we've seen Santos give to Maskell beforehand, and all sorts. They need to show that they have the mentality that they're not just here just to say, you know, I've played for Bolton Wanderers, or I'm just here to make sure that I had a club and a steady pay thing coming in. You can't be playing like that, especially if you want to be up near that top end. Because I know that we've had a terrible start to the season, but it is still only 11 games into the season. You look at the table, we're only about 9 points off playoffs. You know, if they turn around their mentality, get some good wins together, you're laughing. All it takes is a one good run, and then you're back in contention. A win like this would be vitally important. And if the second string players play and show to the first example of the squad, then there's competition within the squad again. It's not just the usual suspects playing every time, and we say, like, we come to expect a mistake from Baptiste every match, or we come to expect I don't know, one of the partners for Sarcevic just doing absolutely nothing. I'd make the changes myself, but Everett seems to be of the mindset that he needs to play his first team just so that they can get some confidence again. But I don't know, maybe that's the definition of insanity, just trying to stick with them and hope they'll change.
Yeah, I think he's got to try and find the right balance between giving the players who aren't performing well time to try and turn it around, and then giving the players who haven't been playing at all the chance to try and push into the first team. I mean, you look at some of the under-18s who've played this season, Finlay Lockett, Regan Riley and Brad Amerton. Can you see any of them getting a chance tomorrow, even if it's just off the bench?
I would say Riley, apart from the fact we've got so many people available in midfield. So I don't think he'll get much of a shot.
I'd give Bright a shot.
I would, yeah. I think we could do with somebody up front who, you know, a bit of a change, bit of a different option, and give the forward lads a rest, because let's be honest, they need it. I'd play Sean Miller, because I think he needs minutes in his legs rather than to be rested. But Delfonso, and I wouldn't have anywhere near the team.
Yeah, Delfonso, I'd rest for self. I'd definitely make sure he's fully fit and sharp for next week, because he's vital, and he's obviously probably been our most consistent forward player anyway. Yeah, I think it could be beneficial to play someone like Bright alongside the more experienced Miller, because Miller's that more holding type, and Bright seems to be the poacher. Whereas if we'd played Miller and Ganua, they're kind of similar players, kind of similar to Delfonso, where they want to be, you know, holding the ball, dropping deep and trying to play in a the poacher, so it could be more beneficial to play someone like Bright, but I doubt he will. I guess we'll probably see Arthur and Miller playing together, but we'll wait and see.
I was about to say, we speculate all this, but we probably won't see hide or hair of these players until we play the meaningless game against Newcastle's under 21s.
Oh, I forgot about that altogether, yeah. Jesus.
I don't think that really matters, does it? It's not really a first team game.
Yeah, and I know it doesn't really matter, but I'm just saying, if that's all that all these second string players are going to get, what does that say about them, that he only trusts them to play them in games that don't matter?
Yeah, I think if that's the best that George Taff can expect at this stage of his career, then he'll be out in January. To be fair, I could see there being a mass exodus in January if things don't change.
Yeah, it certainly, from his comments after games where he's saying, "I'll shake your hand and be on your way," and all that, which is alarming, really, considering that the entirety of his squad he brought in. Well,
I think that's the point, isn't it? Yeah, he did.
Phoenix brought in, yeah. Anyway, right, we'll end this now. I'll try and get a score prediction from you. Start with you, Tom.
Let's go 2-1 Crew.
James?
3-1 Crew.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2 with Tom. 2-1 Crew. I think Mikel Mandron's going to batter us again because he had a great game.
He's still garbage. No one will ever be able to change my opinion that he's rubbish.
No, but we made him look like an absolute world beater, didn't we?
Well, I think that's why George Taff's not in the team. But anyway, moving on.
Quite possibly. Right, we'll end on a lighter note anyway with a bit of a FA Cup themed Wanderers quiz. So same rules apply. Shout out your name if you know the answer. We've got 6 questions. So
you're going down, hopefully... James, you twat.
Fighting spirit, I love it. Right, okay, question number 1. Who scored the first goal at Wembley in the 1923 FA Cup?
James.
James.
David Jack.
It was David Jack, yeah, that's 1 point to James.
Nerd.
Question number 2. How many FA Cup finals have Bolton Wanderers been in?
James. Tom.
Oh, go on, Tom.
6?
No, go on, James, do you know?
7.
7, yep, 2-0 to James.
For sake.
one 4, last 3. So, yeah. Okay, question number 3. The 1901 FA Cup final replay between Sheffield United and Tottenham was held where?
What the hell? I haven't got a bloody clue.
Biggest clue I could give you is think about, who we support.
Oh, Tom.
Tom.
Vernon Park.
Vernon Park, yeah.
I was going to say Hampden Park, so I thought it might be something really out there.
I think we hosted an FA Cup final once, so there you go. Question number 4, who did Kevin Davies score a hat-trick for in the FA Cup against Bolton in 1997? Tom.
Chesterfield.
Chesterfield always brought it back. It's 2-2.
As soon as you said Kevin Davies' hat trick, I knew it had to be Chesterfield. Didn't get it in time.
Didn't know it that quickly, though, did you, mate?
Okay, question number 5. How many FA Cups has Rob Holding won since leaving Bolton Wanderers?
Tom. 2.
2? The answer is 2, yes.
Bosh! Have it, James. Have it, mate.
He's turned it around. Oof. What a result. Okay.
You couldn't sound any less enthusiastic.
No, yeah. Question number 6. Did Bolton win or lose their first ever FA Cup game?
James. They lost.
Did lose, yeah.
Shock.
6-2 away at Blackburn in 1881.
Ah, to Blackburn as well. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Okay.
How many of the Blackburn team were related?
Probably 6 or 7, I guess. I don't know. Okay, so this is the tiebreaker. So win it all. I know you're both excited. Okay. When did in the 2016-17 season was the last time Bolton Wanderers won an FA Cup game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
4 years ago, so that's slightly depressing. What was the score and who was it against?
Tom?
Sheffield
United, 3-2.
It was Sheffield United, 3-2, yeah. Tom takes it 4-3.
Get in there! Oh, James, it's unlucky, mate. It's unlucky. You know, You can't win everything.
I was thinking Sheffield Wednesday 3-2, but then I remembered that was the League Cup.
That was when Parker kicked off with who was it? Some Sheffield Wednesday player, wasn't it? Because he stamped on Moraes or something.
Yeah. It was their goalkeeper. I remember because I gave him dog's abuse when he went in the tunnel.
Your memory's fine now, isn't it, James? It wasn't fine during the quiz.
Pressure, isn't it? It's the pressure building. Yeah. That's what it was.
I live for the pressure. What can I say?
I wish our players did.
That's a good point, yeah. They don't turn up for competition.
We'll wait and see about that, won't we? So thank you for joining us on the Line of the Honest Week preview. We'll hope to be back next week, fingers crossed. And hopefully we're putting a decent performance tomorrow, but you never know. So we'll see you next week.